I'm just waiting to see the incense in your room, Gary, start filling up.
Hey, man, you're already here.
No cross legs sitting, though, on the top of the desk.
Okay, deal.
Talking about backyard ponds, and I've saved this to really get into it. We've touched on it briefly, but it's called a recreational or a living pond, and these are ponds that are designed to swim in. And what really draws me to that is I never said I'd have a lawn or a pool, but when you have kids in the Arizona summer, that changes pretty drastically because it's what you're going to sit inside all day. If you've got a lawn and a pond, you've got something to get your wiggles out. And if they swim, they sleep at night.
Amen to that. Yeah. Sitting in the air conditioning playing Xbox all day is not really a great option when you got four of them there, right?
Right. And from where we plan to put this pool to the mountains that are in the view to the south, there's, I don't know, I haven't calculated, but at least 100 square miles of desert dust. And if we put in a pool, I'd be nothing but cleaning it. And during the summer, I could justify that, but the 6-7 months out of the year that we can't swim in it, I'm going to be cursing it the whole time. And so this concept of a living pond that, you know,
year-round entertainment. That's exactly right. When you're not swimming in it, you're watching fish swim around in it, dragonflies float above it, and birds visit it. And it's,
all the boys playing with frogs and turtles and snails.
I live in a tract home development, and I have a front pond and stream that the local boys and a couple of girls actually spend a lot of time flipping rocks over looking for whatever's living underneath. And it's funny because their parents will get nervous, say, don't play around with Mr. Holdeman's pond. And I'm outside going, hey, please let them play with the pond. I love watching this. I love, you know, let me photograph them. And I'm happy to let them play in it because this is what kids ought to be doing. And what's, you know, there's some people that argue this problem with our society is not enough kids building forts and playing in the side of a stream.
Well, where this living pond is going to go is underneath one of the trees that the tree fort's going to go into. And one of the design features we've got to make sure is it's got to be deep enough you can cannonball out of the treehouse into the pond.
Yeah, right. That's definitely one of the major requests that comes to us from those.
And Rosie asked an interesting question. Are the fencing rules the same? You know, on a pool, you've got to have like 2 points of, what do they call it, restrainment to get to the, you've got to have like a closing back door hinge. You've got to have a fence. You know, two different ways that barriers. There we go. Barriers to it. Does that apply to a living pond?
It's a very complicated area, and each situation is completely unique. If I'm in the middle of a tract home development, then yeah, I want pool code fencing around anything over 2 foot deep. But if I'm out on a farm or on a big ranch, then ranch ponds can be as deep as you want them to be. So it's definitely a gray area, and I don't think there's any code that absolutely fixes on it. Everybody, the people that have strong opinions have really strong opinions about it. So if it's over 2 feet deep, it needs a pool code fence around it. Outside of that, Arizona is an interesting state when it comes to these kinds of laws. So it depends on the city you're dealing with.
And if it's something that you're not going to use for swimming, 2 feet's plenty deep for accomplishing a lot of koi ponds. I
can raise a lot of fish and animals in a 2 foot deep water garden for sure.
And you mentioned you want to have it deep enough to do cannonball. How deep can you go?
Well, I was involved in a project in Chicago with about 300 other guys, and we built one 13 feet deep. And it had an underwater swim cave, and it had 6-foot-tall diving boulders on the side of it next to the waterfall. And we called it the most extreme pond build. It was built in 2008, if you can believe that. But it was planned and funded in 2007. So that must have been fun for the owner to watch.
Oh, man.
So, but that pond's still there. It's out by DuPont Airport in Chicagoland area, and it's a spectacular pond.
And I'm going to ask you this question just to save you from answering a lot of these questions later, because I know there's a lot of listeners out there like me that like to do things themselves. They like to do the improvements. They like to be able to say, yes, I built that. Do you design ponds and then let the people build them themselves for the diehard do-it-yourselfer? And the answer is no, because that's what you told me. But I was just putting that out there so you don't have to answer this to...
Good call. Good call. You know, the problem is that there's a lot that goes into learning about how to properly build a pond. And so we did some consulting in the early days, but it was funny. I'm sure it's my fault, but I can't seem to design something with enough detail to it that the guy that pulls it off has the same thing that I envision. So training a crew to pull off my vision has been challenging enough, but trying to get somebody that's never done it before to do the right things and not cut any corners has been, it was so big a challenge and there were so many problems that occurred that we finally said, no, we're not doing that anymore. It just creates too many backlash problems for us.
And I realize that some things you do have to bite your pride and hire out, and this is one we've come to that, because the last thing I want to do is put in all this time and effort and have this big pond that's, the water's disgusting and fish are dying and floating and it's got all, you know, it turns into then a big headache.
Yeah, I don't know the exact numbers, but I'd say over a third of our work starts with a poorly built pond.
PondGnome.com, and your phone number again?
623-572-5607.
Spell gnome.
It spells like gnome. G-N-O-M-E.
Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. Paul Holdeman.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, guys.